Okay, let's reconvene. We're on papers four, four A and four B. Subject formerly known as core inventories.
Thank you. The committee received a request to clarify whether IS2 or IS16 should be applied to core inventories or minimum fill as referred to in this presentation and in our agenda papers for this meeting. The committee discussed this issue in March and tentatively decided to develop an interpretation to address the existing diversity in practice. The staff papers for this meeting have two main objectives. The first objective is to propose the scope of items that would be accounted for under IS16 and to provide examples of items included in and excluded from that scope. The second objective is to reconfirm the committee's tentative decision to develop an interpretation on this issue, in particular taking into account the applicability of the scope to a range of industries. Analysis of how the principles of IS16 would be applied to minimum fill is not included in the staff paper for this meeting. On the basis of the staff analysis in agenda paper 4A, and consistently with the feedback received from consultations with ISB members, we think that the scope of minimum fill should be limited only to unrecoverable items, and the following two criteria should be considered. The first criterion is whether the carrying amount of a constant level of inventories is expected to be recovered principally through its sale or consumption at the end of its useful life. We think that if this is the case, inventories, the assets should be accounted for under IS2. The second criterion is whether the carrying amount of an asset is expected to be recovered principally through its use during more than one period. This criterion is a key part of the definition of PPE, and we wanted to highlight it in our presentation, even though it's not what we focused on in our staff papers. We think that the assets should be accounted for under IS16 only if both of these criteria are met. Our analysis in Agenda Paper 4B shows that most of the items we received feedback about would be excluded from the proposed scope of minimum fill. We identified only limited cases in which IS16 would be applied, and we do not expect a widespread and material effect on the accounting for those items. Most of the change in practice that would be triggered by the proposed approach relates to the items that would be excluded from the scope of minimum fill and therefore from the scope of IS16, such as the recoverable portion of base gas and pipeline fill. Taking into account the materiality of these items and the prevalent view on their accounting, which is to apply the requirements of IS16, we think that the issue is widespread and material, and that developing guidance in respect of such items is justified. Our question to you is, do you have any comments or questions on the feedback from consultations with ISB members described in Agenda Paper 4 and on the analysis of the applicability of the definition of minimum fill to a range of industries presented in Agenda Paper 4B? And do you agree with the proposed approach and the proposed label? And finally, if you agree with the proposed approach, do you continue to think that an interpretation should be developed to address the issue?
Okay, can we divide those up? Which one would you like us to talk about first?
I think the scope is the first.
Okay, so that goes to the definition of what you think minimum fill.
What items should be accounted under 16 and...
Okay, comments, reactions? I would describe Andrew's expression as sullen but not mutinous. Is that... Let's see who we've got here. John, and I guess it's Charlotte. Pay long. Oh, John and then Cass, excuse me.
I mean, I agree with the staff analysis and recommendation in relation to scope. I think it's the appropriate definition of minimum fill. I mean, I think trying to define it by nature is impossible because it's the same as inventory. It has the same nature. I think the real distinguishing feature is the fact that it's actually not recovered and sold as inventory would be, and therefore I think that's what makes it minimum fill and would suggest it's accounted for as PP&E. I do have one disagreement with a comment in the paper about inventories held for legal or national security purposes. Those are scoped out or excluded from the scope of the interpretation, which I would agree with, because those are not minimum fill, but it then goes on to state that they can be recovered principally through sale. I don't think there's any analysis in the paper that supports the accounting for those, and therefore I would disagree with that statement, although I agree with the exclusion of them from the scope.
Yes?
I'm a little concerned about that scope. I think we're trying to articulate a distinction between recoverable and unrecoverable, and we're trying to deal with the interpretation of unrecoverable. So based on the guidance on IS 16, that means looking at the analysis or current practice in the oil and gas industry, and that majority of the treatment, accounting treatment with the recoverable is IS 16. So. And then if we go through this process and provide interpretation to treat it as a IS 16, that's a huge change. So I think, I'm not sure the detail, but looking at analysis, there are some kind of consensus or not a divergent practice, but majority of the practice is IS 16. So I'm not sure what we kind of staff analysis might be missing something to come to that conclusion or distinction of the recoverable and unrecoverable. So I'm a little concerned to move forward, but even we do move forward, I think we need to research a little bit more to understand further.
What is it that we would attempt to understand? We know what the practice is.
So my biggest concern is currently the majority of that oil and gas industry is dealing with IS-16 and treated to IS-2. So my understanding is they just book it, report it as a fixed asset, and if we treat it as IS-2, is a current inventory or something. I'm not sure whether it's improved or not. So I think the current practice may be based on some assumption or assumption or understanding of the business practice, and I cannot challenge that practice is wrong or what modify would be better.
Okay. Hey, Long?
I agree with the direction of staff of this minimum fill assets, a part of a PPE. I look at them more akin to residual value of an item of PPE. But I would like to clarify the second sentence in paragraph 37. Does this mean that the minimum fill is PPE until the asset is decommissioned, and then the part of the asset related to minimum fill is reclassified to inventory?
I stumbled on that paragraph too. So, Irina, can you clarify that for us? We're talking about paper 4A, paragraph 37.
We think that the recoverable items, the items the carrying amount of which is expected for which is expected to be recovered principally through sales would be outside of the scope of items required to be accounted under IS 16. So those items would be accounted under IS 2, be treated as inventories.
If I could, let me try my understanding of it and see if that comports with yours. I think what the paragraph is saying is the topic sentence of the paragraph says, we think there are some things that belong in IAS 16. Notwithstanding that, the fact that you have a base stock of inventory, for example, if you're a retail milk store, you always have to have a certain amount of milk in the cooler, but obviously it turns over. That's inventory, regardless of the fact that you always have to have 5 gallons or however many liters. Mm-hmm. So that belongs in two. So the paragraph's a little funny because it starts out talking about 16, but the whole rest of it is about two. So.
Yeah, and what we're not saying is that we're not saying that you start off in one standard and then move across into the other one. We're not saying that.
I thought it should say, we think that unrecoverable minimum fill should be recognized in accordance with the principles of IAS 16. We also think that the constant level of inventories or recoverable minimum fill, it's like we changed terminology when we got to this paragraph.
It's a funny paragraph, but I think
I struggled with it too for that reason, because all of a sudden minimum fill is one type.
Okay, I think I've lost track of the rotation, so let's go back over here. Charlotte, if you want to come in now.
I just wanted to understand something. I was going to see IS 16 talks about things that are going to be recovered through sale, while IS 2 talks about things that are going to be recovered through sale in the ordinary course of business. So I guess the base level of inventory that we are going to sell at the end, that doesn't seem like it's being sold in the ordinary course of business. It seems to be beyond the ordinary course because your machine is sold. I just don't understand how you reconcile the two. So you would seem to fall in the gap between the two, that you, if you're being sold but not in the ordinary course of business, you're neither inventory nor machinery.
Yeah. Now, we certainly had in mind in the normal course of business, because particularly when you think about things like a pipeline, you put your minimum fill in for the pipeline in order to get it to operate. But what you put in today has been sold by tomorrow, and it's been replaced by more minimum fill, if you like.
So that's a fungibility question about your turning table. I wasn't sure if it's the fungibility you were using as the distinction or the fact it's actually sold ultimately. I thought in one of the paragraphs it feels like it's the fact it's sold that means it's scoped out of the interpretation. But I know you're referring the fungibility bit, I get, but.
Yeah, I think in looking at the definitions in IAS 2, it might be better, held for sale in the ordinary course of business is one of three. There's also in the process of production for such sale, or materials or supplies to be consumed in the production. So if we were more complete in our reference to two, that might help us. So we'll take that on board. Tony, I think you're next.
A couple of observations. I think I understand the logic that the staff have used to get to the scope and to conclude that items that will be sold in the ordinary course of business are inventory. There was something that was written in the outreach that I thought was interesting. I didn't see how it came through, which is that I can contrast two situations. If I own the pipeline, then it's clearly my inventory that's passing through it, and then I sell it when it gets to the other end. I need to keep a minimum amount in it. But if there's an entity that's purely operating the pipeline or the storage facility, there's a reference in the outreach to the oil or the gas being leased. And I wonder if you get to the same answer, or what's the interaction of purely providing the service and not owning the minimum fill or whatever it is as it passes through, and does that introduce a complexity that's not addressed in here?
Yeah, I think there's another way of looking at possibly the same issue, and that is, if you aren't the one who owns the pipeline, then, but it's your oil or gas that is going through the pipeline, then you don't have a fixed asset in which to capitalise any minimum fill if you are the one responsible for that.
Agree with that. I'm turning the other way around. If I'm providing a service, I own the pipeline or I own the storage facility, I never own any of the gas. But I maybe to pick up what I just wonder if the question that Kaz was asking is the slightly bigger question that I have, which is, the outreach demonstrates that there is very limited diversity in practice. So of the five industries or six industries, four of them say there's no diversity and two of them say limited. So I wondered if there's a problem that we're trying to fix, if there is consistency within the industries and there doesn't seem to be a significant level of concern, are we sort of trying to fix a problem that isn't there?
But the limitation on diversity practices within an industry, but if you look cross industry, then you do have diversity.
I think that's a fair question, Tony. I was hoping to save it for the end.
Okay, I'm happy to park it and come back to it at the end. But that.
Reinhardt?
I understand the staff's logic in terms of the definition of core inventory, but I do have some concerns with that approach. One is, I think as Kaz mentioned, that would result in a significant change in practice for industries where there is no diversity. And so I'm just wondering whether we're perhaps missing something in the analysis. A couple of things came to mind in that respect, and that is, we're saying if it's recoverable, it's inventory. Well, in many of these industries, like the oil and gas, the gas, the oil in the pipeline, or the cushion gas in a storage facility, that has that physical asset has a long life, maybe 40, 50 years. So if that amount of gas or oil is sold at the end, that would then suggest we're going to have non-current inventories, something that's classified as an inventory, but it won't be realized in, you know, for many, many years. And I just wonder what the value is to the user. Another point is, it just seems to me, when I talk to folks in the industry, this minimum fill, this cushion gas or whatever, however they term it, is needed in order to make the physical asset produce. You can't produce without this. So are we making an arbitrary distinction between what is inventory versus what something that's needed to ensure that the asset is in operating as intended by management? And so I like Kaz, I'm concerned with the direction of the interpretation, and like Tony, question whether we in fact even need it, if there is consistency in the industries, if the answer is that, you know, there's diversity between industries, and so it'd be helpful to have some guidance that brings some consistency across industries to similar types of circumstances. I'm left a little uncomfortable that we may be missing something in the analysis, because what this would cause is a change in practice for those entities where the amount of the minimum fill is material, and they've been classifying it as IS-16.
Andrew?
Yeah, my concern is the same as Kaz, Tony's, and Reinhardt's. Industries appear to have, by and large, sorted this out for themselves. The direction this is heading in would cause a significant change in practice. I suspect as we get through the consultation process, we're going to run into a lot of opposition for that reason. I accept maybe there is some different analysis between industries, although the facts and circumstances will inevitably be different. But who is trying to make comparisons between industries for this classification issue? I mean, is that a real issue, or just something we're creating for ourselves? So that is my overall concern. Regarding the scope, I wasn't quite clear whether the intended scope was just the non-recoverable minimum fill. that's the declared scope, but the analysis actually says it's IS2 if it's recoverable and IS16 if it's non-recoverable. I'm personally not convinced by that distinction. I think if we're going to abandon something in 40 years' time, or we might sell it in 40 years' time if we abandon the operation, I'm not sure that should be determinative as to the accounting.
Martin?
Yeah, I'm pretty on the side of Reinhard and Andrew. I mean, I'm able to follow the ideas of the staff. However, I really ask the question, what is in 25 to 40 years of time? For example, if you have this specific bassin of metal and you need it for production, if you want to stay within this business, for sure also your next production plants need to have this kind of bassin. That means you would still need the same amount of metal if you want to continue to be in this kind of business. I might interpret that because when you end up with one production plant and intend to start with the new production plant, then probably for these reasons we have to account for this as inventory. Or probably just because we do not store it by site for half a year before the next production plant is finalized, so to say, but we sell it and, well, we buy it on the market half a year later, we say it's inventory. And I have some challenges to understand also the difference to a catalyst. Also the catalyst, which is mentioned here for chemical production, might be used in one plant, and it said, okay, at the end of the production, probably it is not sold. It might be used for another or for the next plant. However, in general, also then, if you have a new plant, the design of the catalyst would be different. Thus, physically, you probably would give away the metal and get another metal back in another kind of form, but you still keep a specific amount of metal. So as long as you are in this kind of business or business model, the question really then is, should you really value your inventory according to the weighted average cost method or whatever? I would have my doubts that this is a kind of useful information.
Well, speaking of users, Sandy?
Yeah, well, my question for Reinhard was, you're saying that, okay, people are currently classifying it as IAS-16. Okay, but at what value? Is it at cost? Are they depreciating it? Are they carrying it at fair value? Are there differences in, they might be IAS-16, but are they taking different options as to how they value it? So there's not only a classification difference, but there's a potentially different measurement of those items, right? And measurement between entities that may classify it the same. I mean, I don't know. I'm not that familiar with it. I'm just curious as to, within the classification of IAS-16, how are people?
I have assumed, perhaps incorrectly, and others of you who've done outreach with the industry can help us on this, that for most of this stuff, your cost would be the cost of the first bench going in. If you followed the staff's reasoning, you'd have to conclude the residual value is zero.
Yeah, but if it's certain types of oil, the residual value wouldn't be zero.
It's recoverable.
Well, but okay. Assuming that it's non-recoverable, you'd have to also conclude that the residual value is zero. If you took the other view of saying, no, I'm not going to accept the staff scope, and I would accept industry practice, then I think for a lot of it, you'd have to say residual value is equal to cost, or higher than cost.
Yeah.
And so your depreciation number would be zero, and you would have, in effect, a LIFO inventory. I think that was a concern that, as it was reported to me, several of the board members had expressed.
But if you were using the inventories, it would be weighted average?
Weighted average or FIFO, right. Yeah.
So the classification also changes the amount that would appear in the financial statement.
To some degree, yes. Okay, I got Tony, Bruce. Tony doesn't want to come in. Okay, I got Bruce and...
Thanks. I guess the only comment I had on this paper was that within the framework, we accept that we can have PP&E that changes its nature based on intention. I mean, we've got situations where we've got IFRS 5 that basically deals with the situation where we change our intention with items. And if I took another example, we've got another example of if I'm a car rental company, we know we can put things into IS-16. We only worry about reclassifying those on our decision, our change in intention. So I guess the way I approached this was saying, look, IS-16 very clearly tells me that I need, that I must capitalize part of the cost, anything that's a direct cost of getting this ready for the manner intended by management. Now, this, my understanding is this is a cost of that. Sure, you're right. At some point, we may recover that. But that's going to, in my understanding of a lot of the situations, is in order to recover that, we're going to have to stop operating with this plant or whatever it may be. We're going to stop using this pipeline. We're going to change fundamentally what we do. That's fine, but then why wouldn't the principle be the same as it did with other assets, where we will change, once we make that change in intention, then I agree, this could get reclassified from IS-16 to IS-2. But I think that a lot of this could sit within IS-16 because it's directly attributable, it's being utilized to get this asset up and running, and at this stage our intention is not to recover it through sale, it's to continue using this to produce what we want to produce out of it. So I think that by putting it into IS-2, I'm not convinced we get the right answer. I'm not convinced it's consistent with how we treat other assets.
I'm going to ask board members to weigh in on this, because when we last discussed this, the only person at this table who liked IAS-2 was the chairman. And I thought the committee was pretty much unanimous in taking essentially the view that Bruce has articulated. When we consulted with the board, we got an opposite answer. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask Laurence to weigh in, and then I'm going to ask for any of the three board members who are here to offer their comments to us. Laurence?
I was happy where the staff was going. And actually, my comment was more in reaction to Renan's comment about the oil in the pipeline and asking the staff, if this is classified as inventory, do you see it classified as non-current inventory or as current inventory? Because in my view, for the oil flowing through the pipeline, I think that what you are saying is the oil now is going to be sold immediately after being replaced by oil constantly. And so it's not something that stays forever, it's just being exchanged constantly. So for me, it was not a non-current asset. If my understanding is correct about what you're proposing, it's not a non-current asset. It may be a non-current asset in the cases that Martin is explaining, that he puts some material to make the fridge work and this lasts for a very, very long time. But for the oil, I thought that it was current inventory,
That reflects our thinking behind the paper, that this throughput, if you like, this continual replacement of the oil through the pipeline, although there's always a certain quantity there, because it's being constantly replaced, it would be classified as current.
Independently from selling the basic asset itself, you cannot separate that element from the fixed asset. So you cannot have a cash flow independently from selling the whole package, fixed asset and the contents. What makes the difference is that even if there is a continuous replenishment, you realize the cash flow by selling that inventory without selling the asset itself. As to the question of the timing, whether it is current or non-current, it seems to me that it is not a specific issue here. You have plenty of activities, plenty of industries where the inventory is not a current asset. It takes a long cycle to recover the asset. Some cycles are short, some cycles are long. We don't have any specific problem with that today. This is not specific here. So I would not be troubled or concerned by that difference. The classification will depend actually on the timing. And so I'm quite comfortable with the way the staff approaches the problem, saying default is inventory, exception is fixed assets.
So?
Similarly, I would agree with the default as IS-2 and 16 as a sort of exception. I think that the summary of the feedback from the board members from the small group meetings I was in is a fair reflection of some of the concerns raised. The LIFO point I know has come up a lot as a concern, potential concern. I guess more generally, I'm not sure I'm convinced we need an interpretation, and I don't think, and that's noted, I think, as a view of some board members.
Chang-Wu, did you want to comment?
I have the same feeling, you know, the board members just maybe just contact just a very small group. So we are not having a full board meeting about this issue. So maybe a kind of individual opinion. So they're not summarized very well. So it depends on the specific situations, it might be different, but generally we are a kind of a sympathy, having a sympathy with some kind of possibility of classification of IS-16. That's maybe the general feeling of the board members.
Sandy, Laurence, and then I'm going to direct a question to Michael.
Yeah, I was just reacting to something, my light's been on for a while, to something that someone else said about, you know, if it's held for sale or held for use, sort of that analogy that's included in that paper. And I guess our organization in particular doesn't really like that analogy because we think the value is important to understand irrespective of how management intends to use it. So whether the oil is sitting there for a long time doesn't change the value of the oil, as an example. So I'm just not keen on that analogy.
Laurence?
Yeah, taking again the oil, constantly changing in the pipe, you are in fact in an exchange transaction with the next customer. So before you recognize revenue, you have to see whether you meet the IFRS 15 requirement for recognizing revenue here. And so I'm not sure that indeed you would have, if it is exactly the same oil, same quality, and so on, that this would be revenue generating per se, or with the uplift, if you are just exchanging for the same thing.
It usually takes us more than just one meeting to get to the point when I turn to Michael and say, how did we get into this in the first place? We got a submission from somebody.
We did, yes.
Who said they thought this was sufficiently important that we ought to talk about it.
In fact, it was asthma.
It was asthma. Yes. And now, having seen this baby, we are concluding that it's ugly. Is that what
you're... Oh, it certainly is ugly. And, you know, it was brought to us because of concerns about the reporting that were identified in addition to the diversity in practice. And the concern about the reporting was the example that was given in the submission related to, I think, might have been a metal refiner where, because the core inventory was held at historical cost and it had been put into the equipment some years ago, commodity prices had risen significantly since then. They were concerned that there were what they described as hidden reserves.
Then at the setting up of the production facility, they also have no other kind of information.
I know,
accounting
like
wise
that.
So I mean yeah that but that's an
that.
Disclosure issue. I'm with Philippe with the question, well, what is the overall unit? I mean, if I can't make use out of this metal or whatever without destroying my business model, without destroying my production facility, so to say, then I believe I might be in another situation than if I would really have also the arbitrage or opportunity to sell parts of the metal while being able still to produce something. And I guess there probably should be a difference.
I'm going to try and limit us away from the transcendental issues here, but Sandy, did you want to...
No, that's fine.
Okay.
It was transcendental.
Okay. Let me summarize what I think I'm hearing. I think I'm hearing from a significant number of people who've spoken and from some of the board feedback of is this trip really necessary? And I'm seeing some heads saying, no, I'm not sure it is necessary. So let me put that to a show of hands. That we have to stop, issue an agenda decision, and leave it at that. Show of hands for that, those who would support that approach.
Count nine.
Nine? That's what we'll do. If you're going to be picky about it, that was going to be my next question. I'd sure hate to have this have to come back to another meeting. Can we take us, may I have your permission for the staff to take a try at drafting an agenda decision that we will circulate to you with update? And if you find that unsatisfying or insufficient, we'll bring it back to the next meeting. Any objections to that plan?
And should we focus on the this view or alternative view, which is based on the paragraph 16B of IS-16, which is based on the costs necessary to make a BP item?
No, I would propose that we just say that we have not observed,
okay.
I'm making this up on the fly, a sufficient basis to proceed. We can't really say that we observe no diversity in practice because between industries we did.
You can say that diversity within industries.
But within industries, we did not. So we'll come up with some wording and circulate that to you. And as I say, if you object to that when you see it, we'll bring it back. Okay?
Yes, thank you.